Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the congressman from Kentucky, Thomas Massey. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a review of Annihilation in Hooray for Bollywood, plus a visit with Vinny Tortorich. And now, this weekend, he's going to be the Grouch at the Oscars. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you. It's the reason we're in our 10th year here at the Adam Carolla Podcast. All because of you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
You realize I'm not a comedian.
And that's Vinny Tortorich, everybody.
Hello.
It works. So much stuff to get into with Vinny. First, I'll give a shout out to Beachbody. Text Adam to 303030. Set up your free trial membership. And also Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get to 24/7 protection, just $15 a month. I was sitting around talking to everyone here, but I oftentimes talk to Dr. Drew about it. And I know how you feel, Vinny, about things like the pyramid that the government said, the food pyramid and stuff like that. And I get it that, like, people are stupid and that, you know, poor Gina's mom's not going to know to not buy Snackwell
so
cookies.
Snackwell.
She thinks she's doing right by herself and her palate and her family. But nutritionists, like the government, and then like professional nutritionists, when it was like, you know, nonstop, hydrate, you need to hydrate.
Right.
And, and every nutritionist I ever spoke to is like, are you hydrating? Mm-hmm. Are you hydrating? We have a dunk tank for you to stand in while I give you information about hydration. How do they fall prey to it? Wait. Questions coming. Then nonstop sodium talk. All sodium. Oh, sodium. Right. You got to cut the sodium. It's too much. Buy the low sodium snack wells. It's too much sodium. Yeah. There's no sodium talk anymore. There's no hydration talk anymore. Then there was like, you got to take it. You got to have 6 to 9 small meals a day. You constantly eat throughout the day, but not big meals, small meals, but all even set your alarm to get up at 4 a.m. and have another a handful of trail
cashews.
Mix and then go back to bed again. How does it get perpetuated? All I'm saying is, like, I'm a carpenter. And if somebody started saying, now, here's how we hang hollow core doors now, we put the hinge in the middle, I'd go, no. That, believe me, I know what I'm doing. That's not how it works. It's not going to work. How do so many people who are trained and educated, how do they just jump on the eat a whole bunch of meals, drink a whole bunch of water, sodium, stay away from it? How do they fall prey to it? I know Gina's mom falls prey to it. How do they fall prey to it?
Well, that's an interesting question. One of the ways is nutritionist and registered dietitian, two different people, right? So if I was a registered dietitian, then I would have to follow the company line. And they are literally governed to say a certain thing. It doesn't matter what they think. They can't be me. They have to say you have to have X amount of carbs. You got to cut down on your sodium because they're in cahoots with the doctors who
are they
in cahoots.
Regulated like a medical board, like an obstetrician?
Yeah,
they're like
regulated
that?
By the government.
So
you know, all you have to do is just go up the line until you hit the money, right? Mm. And whenever those guys go off just a little bit, they kick them out. They will take their they'll say, oh, you're no longer part of the group. And a few years ago, I was on a dais at Princeton University, and I was running late. They picked me up late, and the dais had started. So I didn't know who was sitting there. And then they scooted me up there. And right when I sat down, this woman, two people down on the dais from me, is spewing out to this audience at an Ivy League school. She's saying, fat burns in the flame of carbohydrates. And I had just gotten my bearings. And I said, what? And then everyone looked at me, and she goes, fat burns in a flame of carbohydrates. And I said, 1982 just called. They need that info back.
Yeah.
And the whole audience started laughing, burn. And they said, well, Mr. Tartarich, what do you have to say about that?
Dropped his mic and left 5 minutes after that.
Well, then Jeff Ross got up there and started talking about hydration.
Well, but the whole thing is that this woman was a registered dietitian that was on this panel, and we were doing this whole thing. And I shot her down left and right. And then after the thing, instead of calling me a jerk, she came over and said, how does this, you know, she goes, why don't we have this information? And it turns out she was part of Sloan Kettering in New York, an incredible hospital. She's the head dietitian. And I said, how do you not know this? And she said, well, we're told to follow a certain protocol. So at that point, she started doing phone calls with me, and she said, you know, now that I'm studying, now that I'm out there, now that I'm learning the truth, I can't not know this information. And I don't know if she ever did with her job, but she, you know.
We had, who was my take a knee guest? Figure out.
Philip Stutz?
Philip Stutz. Philip Stutz was sitting right where you're sitting yesterday. I was interviewing him. He was a very interesting guy, and it's a whole long story. But he has a condition, and he has a problem with, I think it's his esophagus, and he can't push the food down, and he's had a lot of surgeries and blah, blah, blah. And he's gone to the Mayo Clinic, and he said, you know, the Mayo Clinic, that's the top of the line, and they just give him handfuls of medications and this, that, and the other. And he said, when he does his diet, and he has to be on a crazy diet because he literally, if he eats red meat or he eats meat or he eats whatever, it won't go down. You know, he has to push it down or wash it down, whatever. So he ends up making, you know, to shake and stuff. But when he does this diet, which is pretty much just avocado and greens like pulverized, he says, I don't have to take my medication.
Right.
And I feel great. And I said, it's not. And also the thing is like when somebody says, you know, when the crazy coos has the dog who explains that the sushi thinks he's a person and that's why he's got to travel with me. And then when that person then gets an enema, they don't have to take their serotonin reuptake inhibitors anymore. I go, okay, that person's crazy.
Right.
And they don't know. They could be taking Pez. It wouldn't make a difference. But when this guy who's very, very educated and has a real condition, meaning if you don't take your medicine, you have this this ugh, reflux and everything, you feel the burn in your chest. He says, when I do this, I don't need to take all this medication. And he's not a hippy-dippy dude. He's just like, I'd rather do this than take all the medication. I said, what does the Mayo Clinic have to say about that? And they said, they don't say anything about it. They just go, take these pills.
And
that's the best. That's the best they have to offer is saying, the best healthcare you can get in the world says, here's a bunch of pills, go home.
I have someone that's now higher that reads my emails for me because they're too many. And as you know, sometimes I send one, I'll get drunk and send one to you.
I got a dog walker and a guy breaks in my shoes.
I have an email reader, but you know, so, you know, she sends me all the pertinent emails and then sometimes I'll send one to you or someone else. And the thing I see all the time in these emails, and it drives me nuts. My doctor put me on a blood pressure medication or a, you know, something for type 2 diabetes and told me I'd be on it for the rest of my life. I heard you on the Adam Carolla show. You said don't do this. I'm off of all my medications. And when I say to my doctor, what about this? And they go, I don't know.
Right.
You just go, I don't know. You know, because they're not going to tell the truth because they're following some mandate that says, hand this guy a pill, we all get to make money.
Like the cop's not going to get the pat on the back for giving out more warnings as opposed to tickets.
Right.
And it's in the
best
sadly,
interest.
The best interest of the doctor to give out more prescriptions a lot of the time.
Well, again, in 2018, you just feel like the guy with the nerve damage to his esophagus could go to the Mayo Clinic and somebody there could carve out 5 minutes and go, easy on the burgers and go heavy on the avocado, and that's going to help a lot.
Do you know who Jim Abrams is? The guy, Zucker Abrams.
Yeah, Zucker Abrams, yeah.
Yeah, his son was born having seizure at like having 100 seizures a day.
Jesus.
And mm-hmm. they finally, by the time he was one and a half, they said
airplane. Those are airplane,
airplane
guys.
Yeah,
all those movies,
all those incredible
gun.
Movies.
Right.
So now he's at the Mayo Clinic. He's gone all over because he's got money. He can go wherever he wants. And they're saying, okay, we have to do a lobotomy on your kid,
my God.
And your kid will, you know, maybe not have as many seizures when we take a piece of his brains out. He goes into the library at the Mayo. I think it was the Mayo Clinic. He goes into the library, and he sees this, I could put my kid on a ketogenic diet. That used to be what you did, and it worked like a charm.
Mm-hmm.
He walked into the doctor, and he said, Doc, why haven't we tried this?
And the doc's sharpening his knives, going, what now?
He goes, well, yeah, he's scrubbing in.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, because it would make his cholesterol go up. And he goes, but you want to cut my kid's brain out.
Right.
And there's a movie. Anyone can watch it for free.
Yuli's Gold.
Close.
Good call.
Thank you.
Giant Peach or whatever.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
So, no, he did a movie called First Do No Harm. And anyone can watch it for free on any of the things now. Meryl Streep is in the movie, and it's the story of his kid and how they cured him with a keto diet.
Wow.
Guy never had the surgery. The guy's a school teacher now in L.A., so he didn't turn out.
Well,
so
I
explains a lot, yeah, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's. All right. So, couple things. I always have this kind of feeling. I've always said this thing about producers, because whenever you do a TV show, they always get involved. They give lots of notes. They just produce. They can't help it. And the example I've always said is if you took a bunch of
beavers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's what I said.
I know where you're going.
Yeah. Took a bunch of beavers, put them on the Empire State Building. They start looking for wood.
Yeah.
Because they build dams.
Right.
And you could go. There's not going to be a flood.
Right.
And they go, hey, back off.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. That's what we do. And I feel like doctors do what they do. And right. what they do is don't tell you to have an avocado and go home. They write a prescription. And that's the problem. Now, I want to talk to you about we got the paleo diet.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that. I'm also looking at food that makes you feel fatter.
When you look at it.
Yeah.
Literally.
You tell me. I am now having to make pancakes and syrup for the whole family except for me. And I have to stand there over the griddle making these pancakes and dumping the syrup and having stupid things said to me make me want to go like ninja on my kid's head, which is, Dad, not so much butter. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Not so much butter.
You're like, can you replace a little bit of that butter with chocolate chips?
You're like a costume designer on a porn set who took a vow of chastity.
Yes.
So like, just getting everyone ready and like, have fun. Have a good time.
Literally just making Johnny cakes and just staring at them the whole time and everybody just eating anything all day, every day. And now I realize, like, I'm smelling the batter and I'm drooling, like I'm salivating as I'm taking the Trader Joe's pure maple and dumping it over this perfectly done pancake I made, and I start thinking, like, is this having an effect on me? Like I'm having a visceral reaction. There's nothing going in my mouth, but there's a lot going on in my body. Does it have an effect?
It does a little bit. The bigger effect, I was listening to the show last week, and you mentioned, oh, now when I taste a granola bar, I feel my face getting fatter. So you made some kind of weird comment.
Right.
And that's when I wrote that note down for Chris. I said, you know, the bottom line is, before, when you were just eating anything, you would get inflammation. You wouldn't notice it. It didn't matter. And then all of a sudden, one day, you said, I'm going to start paying attention to this. You started eating right. And now when you have something, it automatically has an effect. And here's what happens. And I was talking to Gina about this before the show. Every woman in your audience has that pair of jeans. They fit just right. And when she's lean, she can put them on. They fit just right. You could go out and have a half a margarita. And then the legs of the jeans, they feel like they're – right, Gina? They feel like they're tightening up on
Sherman
you.
Correct. Mm.
Literally, while you're having a half a margarita, right. you're going, I'm getting fat. And then they turn into colossal bitches because they feel like they're fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And then you walk up with your...
Yeah. Right. Baseline bitch.
Yeah.
Fat. Colossal bitch.
Colossal bitch. Yeah.
So, you know, that
Yeah, what he's saying is when I was happily sort of ignorance is bliss, when I was sailing through life eating French toast for breakfast. Yeah. And I was thinking, well, this is a healthy breakfast. Sure. It's French toast. You're having a hearty, hot, hearty breakfast.
Sticks to your ribs.
And somehow never gained a pound. Right. And it was all fine. And now I'm up in my head. And if I have two of my son's French fries, I can hear myself gaining
right.
weight.
You have the curse of knowledge.
How did that happen? You know?
It's part your brain, and the other part is you release cortisol, and the cortisol makes
right,
you...
Right, but it's because you've eliminated this from your...
You're
from
eating
your diet,
cleaner now.
And now it makes a bigger impact.
If you don't drink for 2 weeks and you have a drink, bigger impact than if you drank every day.
Right.
This is putting something I've never thought about this in this context before, but we were talking about the smell of diners, and it's one of my friend's favorite smells in the world. Like, if you could bottle it, that's what they would love. And I said, you know what's weird? I actually hate the smell of diners.
Really?
When I walk in, I hate it because I feel full just standing there waiting for a table. Like, it doesn't feel good. I feel kind of full and nauseous. Is this why?
Well,
am I having a cortisol dump?
Our senses matter. That's why Popeye's Fried Chicken has that vent facing towards the street. That's why when you walk into Cinnabon, you walk into that section of the mall, there's a reason why it all smells that way.
Yeah, so the looking at the food, preparing food, or whatever I did with the pancakes, has some... very, very small physiological effect, but nothing worse.
Yeah, you can still make food for your kids. You're fine.
How about the?
You almost got
unfortunately.
At it.
How about the? I'm looking here at the paleo diet. What is the difference between the no sugar, no grain diet and the paleo diet?
Paleo, no sugars, no grains, Atkins, all about the same. The problem with paleo is that we've now done a thing where paleo is kind of like being a vegan. You know, when you hear vegan, it connotates something. You know, you think
being
douchebag.
That,
you know,
putting
fried oil in your Mercedes-Benz diesel engine, and you know, whatever they do.
Right? By the way, if anyone has ever driven behind one of those green diesel conversion where they dump the fry oil into it. It smells like French fries when you're driving behind the car.
It's kind of cortisol.
Yeah, being triggered. Go ahead.
So paleo has become the same kind of religion where, you know, you could call anything vegan and it's supposed to be healthy, but it's not anymore. Paleo is doing the same thing. There's paleo bars and there's paleo this. And you really have to crack down and watch what you're eating in a paleo bar because it could be full of sugar, and you go, well, wait, there was no granulated sugar in the Paleolithic era, but guess what? Cro-Magnon man, there were bees, and there was honey, even though they were living through an ice age. I don't know how many bees and honey they had, but they're making stretches now, so it's become a religion where, and then the companies come in, big food comes in, and creates stuff with paleo written on it. Does not mean it's paleo whatsoever.
Right. So you doing paleo barbecue, something covered with barbecue sauce that's paleo still, you're taking a lot of sugar in.
Yeah, isn't it almost like you're replacing the sugar with the dairy? Because I don't really think that you have dairy on paleo.
Paleo, yeah. There's no dairy on paleo because apparently Cro-Magnon man did not have it.
So, wasn't into churning butter.
Yeah. We have some success stories. We got somebody on line one from Napa. Lost 30 pounds in 30 or 40 days. Tell me, John, 43 Napa.
Hey.
What's going on?
I'm Gina Baldini. It's an honor. So I got on this diet. You know, I heard Adam, you know, Benny was constantly on the show, and after all, I was so skeptical with different diets. But you had Benny on over and over, and, you know, you always give out great advice. So I was like, well, I better start listening to this Benny guy. And I'll tell you, I got on it, and pounds just melted away. I mean, like a pound a day. I hit a bit of a curveball because I was drinking milk, but then, you know, I read that you're not supposed to do that. It continued coming off, and it's literally the only diet that's ever worked for me, and I can't thank you guys enough. And to show my appreciation, I wanted to buy you and your entire crew lunch, if that would be okay.
Oh, thank you.
And how.
So sweet.
Yeah, it's just unsweetened plain jerky. buffalo jerky. Be fine.
Pizza and some passion fruit iced tea.
Well, hey, John, I always love to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So tell us what you did. Tell us what you cut out, and then tell us what you did.
Okay. So, well, basically, I just stuck to the diet, you know, eggs, bacon, sausage, you know, steak, chicken. And what was interesting about it is a lot of people came to me and like, what are you doing? Like, your cholesterol is going to be through the roof. Be careful, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I went and got my cholesterol checked, and the doctor said that not only was my LDL good, but it was excellent. I said, well, what do you mean by excellent? And she said, I've literally never seen it so low unless someone was on a prescribed medication.
Wow.
Threw me away.
Wow.
So I also, which was interesting, is I was able to also drink like Coors Light at night, which I thought wouldn't work. But then I hit a plateau. I completely cut that out. So I went from 225 to 195, which is right about where I'm at right now. And I'm just trying to, I'd like to, I'm 5'10", so I'm not sure what my ideal weight would be. I'm thinking somewhere in like the 165, 170.
Yeah, I mean, kind of depends on your build, but let's say yes. Calling from Napa, okay. So you're probably not strapping.
Right. Thank you.
How do you do so, that, Matt?
They don't build them that sturdy in Napa. No, Napa doesn't attract them. It doesn't attract ex-junior college fullbacks. Right. Don't relocate to Napa.
That's a good point.
That's
actually, there's quite a few NFL stars that
do that.
That's
Charles Woodson.
How dare you?
It's all farmland up there. It's all grapes and tractors.
How dare you? Yes.
But, you know, another thing I noticed, sometimes I would skip meals and go out and, like, drink all night, and I would wake up and I'd be, like, 3 pounds lighter. So I'm not sure how that works. But,
The throwing up, probably.
So, is it possible he's at the weight? Yeah. Are you at the weight, John, you're supposed to be at? I mean, if you're plateauing?
No, not at 5'10". No,
oh, okay.
He's got weight to lose.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, where would you recommend going from here, Vinny? Like, totally cut out milk out of my coffee? I mean, I've really cut out drinking for the most part, except for, like, one day a week.
Yeah, you know, milk, you know, people go, wait a minute, you say I can have dairy, why can't I have milk? Because milk usually has, even the high-fat stuff in this country, is about 4% milk fat, which means there's a lot of lactose, which means, and it's liquid, so it goes right to your liver really fast, so it could cause the same kind of glucose spike.
What about cream in the coffee?
Cream is fine. Heavy cream is fine.
So it's there's a difference between milk and cream.
Yeah,
sugar,
big
difference.
One is basically oil, and the other one is... You know,
so
sugar.
Can you buy some cream in your coffee?
Well, I do that, but I was wondering if it would help to just cut that out completely.
Yeah, go with cream or drink it black.
Vinny's saying go cream, but here's it's this thing where it's like it's the margarine versus butter and the low fat versus the cream. Everyone's always wanted the cream, but they're doing the right thing and going with the low fat. And they've always wanted the butter, but they're doing the right thing and going with the margarine. And that's the part that frustrates me about the information. Yeah.
It goes against what we've been led to believe.
We've been led to believe this by the experts, which is sad. And then it also kind of makes you wonder, what else do the experts know? Forget about diet. Let's just talk about world affairs. Like whatever else is going on in this country or has gone on in this country. We're same group of experts or different group of experts. Like, are they really experts? Is anyone ever an expert?
Exactly.
Okay. It is insane. Like when you sit around and you go, there's an exploding homeless population in Los Angeles. Experts say the rise in cost of living and low cost housing. It's like, that's what's causing people to sleep in a pile of their own crap underneath a freeway because milk and gas cost more per gallon now.
Like, big leap.
I don't know about the, I'm not sure about the experts, I guess is what I'm saying. I had a goddamn expert explain to me that my son needed a corrective cranial helmet. And I think anyone who's seen Sonny knows that he did just fine minus the helmet. That was an expert.
Yeah.
So I don't know about the experts anymore. All right, yes.
I made something for dinner last night, and as Vinny saw on Twitter, I got as much response as he usually gets being called an a-hole. So that's a lot of response.
That's huge.
And that's unanimous, too.
Yeah.
I think this is something you'd like to see. So tacos, best thing ever. Taco shells, not NSNG. So you know how we like to do those cheddar crisps? You know, you just boil them in the oven. Well, I would take them out, and I saw someone do this online. I put a butter knife. I rested it over two bowls that were upside down. So it's just a balancing butter knife. Mm-hmm. And draped the cheese discs over them.
Uh-huh.
And I have a picture. So I made these taco shells. They were so freaking good.
That looks good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They were so good. So everyone should try this. It was easy and fun to make.
Cheese taco shells.
They're just cheese. Just grated, hand-grated cheese.
So, Vinny, I've always... One of my biggest... And I know your default mode is to go, just don't do it. But
Right.
I see my kids eating tacos and loving tacos. And as I look at the taco shell, the prefab taco shell they get, I look and I go, how much carb can be there? You know what I mean?
Like I'm
looking at a pita bread and I'm going, okay, that seems like a lot of carbs. And I'm looking at a baked potato and I go, well, that looks like a lot of carbs. But then I'm looking at the taco shell and I'm going, how much really is there? Like how bad is that? I mean,
one taco, not bad. But who has one taco?
Okay.
You know, and then the other thing
is podcasters can have one taco.
But you can have, and the other side of it is, when you're grinding up corn, that's fine. It takes a lot of corn to make one shell, right? That's the thing.
Well, this is kind of the answer I'm looking for. Like, is that, what is the difference between, let's say, you take a baked potato or a big heaping thing of rice versus you taking like a pita bread and cutting it in half.
Pita bread in half, filling it up. So much better. Taco shell, so much better. Well, you know, potato is just horrible.
Right. So we don't have to do that today, but what I would humbly suggest and like to pursue for those of us who just like don't want to do without all the time, give us some stuff like half a pita bread filled with all the stuff I want would be insanely satisfying to me. And if that's, you know, none of it's good, but if it's not that bad or much better than a heap of rice or baked potato or a bag of chips or whatever it is, I wouldn't mind probably for your next appearance.
Sure.
I wouldn't mind some of the carby things that ain't that bad.
Okay.
So to speak, or this kind of stuff you could get away with. Like if you wanted a... So there's like, I took Sonny out to dinner on Saturday. We both ordered burgers. He got the burger I wanted, which is a hamburger.
Right.
I got the one with the lettuce wrap.
Right.
But if you said to me, well, you could go with a piece of rye toast and do an open face on it, I think I would enjoy that a lot more, like a melt or something like that. And if you said, well, one piece of rye, thin cut rye, is not the end of the world, I would have enjoyed that a lot more.
Let's just take that one example, and I'll bring in a ton of them every time if you want.
Please.
But let's say you wanted to have the burger with the bun, because they do a great bun or whatever.
Right.
Okay, leave the fries out.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to have the fries... leave the bun out.
Right.
That's the way to have your kind of cake and eat it situation.
Right. But I am interested, like I said, like the pita thing, for just an example. Yeah. I love the pita bread. I don't want to eat the pita bread, so I find myself just eating the meat and the tambouli or whatever. But I'd love to make myself up a nice whatever. And speaking of that, the falafel balls are bad, right?
Yeah, it comes from the male falafel. You're better off.
Wow.
God, that was horrible.
Took a second.
Please don't kick me out of here. I realize I'm not a comedian. Yeah, falafel has... What's falafel? Who knows?
Some chickpeas and oil.
Busted up chickpea and oil, I guess.
There's something else in there, right?
I'm guessing a couple of Armenian pubes.
Okay,
like
that's
if I know my falafel.
Very low carb on the Armenian pubes.
It's deep fried.
Persian pubes on
done
the other hand.
Done and done.
Okay, yeah, you can have that from time to time.
Right.
The problem with deep frying is a whole different problem, but having that from time to time is okay.
Okay. I'm always interested. Let's see. Almond flour. I love your taco shell idea.
So good.
And
I would
tell
you,
cheese on there anyway.
Use mild, don't use sharp because it's very overpowering. Mild cheddar.
I dodged a lasagna bullet last weekend because
they made them in bullet form.
Mm-hmm. We were, Lynette and I had come to the agreement that Sunday night was home cooked meal night. She announced she was making lasagna.
Okay. We'll go with bacon. Never mind. That's the meme.
I thought this is going to be tough for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Good news. We ate leftovers.
Oh, nice. Double
win. We dodged a bullet.
I was waiting for the
She's a saint. She's a saint. Never happened. All right, Eric 40, Washington. Yeah.
Hi, guys. My doctor turned me on to this diet 5 or 6 years ago. I went from like 260 down to about 193 was my best, and I stay around 200 now.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends who's a big bodybuilder, weightlifter kind of guy, he does it too, and he was telling me about almond flour as a substitute for flour flour, because I guess it's made from pure almonds.
How would a pancake or a taco shell taste or stay together out of almond flour?
If you're Anna Vocino, she was in here with us one time, and you're doing a great recipe, they know how to do it. Her book, Eat Happy, is great for that. But people just trying to go, oh, wait, I did that with almond flour, I can do this. And then it becomes a big carby mess, because too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. But if you're just looking to, what are you trying to fry up with almond flour? What are you doing with it?
Well, pizza is one of my biggest downfalls for yanking me out of ketosis.
Right.
And I've made pizza dough with it. I've made pancakes with it. I breaded chicken tenders and deep fried them.
How are all those things?
The pancakes were reminiscent of buttermilk biscuits. It doesn't carry that almond flavor with it.
Mm-hmm.
The pizza crust I'm still kind of working on, because you got to get it super thin.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it gets kind of biscuity too in the middle.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, it's better. I like it better than like cauliflower pizza crust.
You're right.
But if you're using it as a binder, like for meatloaf and stuff, you cannot tell the difference. I use it all the time.
And meatballs.
I use it all the time.
The almond flour.
Yeah.
Would it be safe to say that if one was forced to eat pizza, the thinner the crust with...
What kind of bizarre torture is this?
You're on some sort of island.
Yeah.
Pizza
and
island.
Angry natives from Goombas, from Italia, and they force you to eat cheap pepperoni. Is it safe to say that the thinner the crust and the more meat on it, better in terms of its effect?
Absolutely.
Good. That's the way I like it. All right, let me tell you about Beachbody On Demand, and then we'll do, let's see. We got a Baldywood, right? Very interested in this movie. Beachbody On Demand, online fitness streaming service, unlimited access to a variety of effective world-class workouts, personalized to your needs, plus nutritional content, convenient, accessible on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, or any other web-enabled device. No need to go to the gym. Annual subscription is cheaper than gym membership programs for any fitness level, cardio or weight training, yoga, low impact, even dance, over 600 different workouts. And right now, my listeners get a free trial. Try it out for free. What do you got to lose? Just text Adam to 30-30-30. That's three 30s in a row. Full access, all the workouts, all nutrition, all the information free. Just text Adam to 30-30-30. All right, let's do the Baldywood we were going to do yesterday today.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood!
Annihilation is in theaters now. It is written and directed by Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina. Did you guys see that one, Ex Machina?
No, I heard it was excellent.
It was very good.
Yeah, yes. I loved it.
This is a... It felt like a small, low-budget movie. This one feels big. This is a big Hollywood movie. He's also the writer of 28 Days Later, Sunshine, and Dread. Did you guys see Dread? Adam, you would like Dread.
Oh.
The new one.
Which?
This is the one that came out like two, three years ago, the Judge Dread movie. They remade it with Carl Urban, right? Was it Carl Urban?
We can't improve on the first one. I mean, Stallone, Schneider, come on.
They took a different direction for sure, but the new one is excellent. You would like put it on your list, man.
Okay.
Dread's good. So this guy, Alex Garland, wrote and directed this. It is starring Natalie Portman, of course, Oscar Isaac. I'm talking about Annihilation now. Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tuva Novotny, and Tessa Thompson. Okay, so The movie opens, the opening scene. Natalie Portman is wearing, like, you know, all white hospital scrubs, and she's in quarantine, right? And we pull back and we see that she's surrounded by scientists all wearing their quarantine gear. Mm-hmm. And inside her little quarantine booth is, you know, the three scientists wearing hazmat suits. Like, she's clearly, you know, not being allowed in a normal population. And she's getting debriefed, right? She's getting debriefed about her experience. And you learn through her this dialogue here in the opening scene that she's been inside something called the Shimmer. And the Shimmer is, we learn in the next scene, I'm doing my best not to give too much away because the movie benefits from not knowing a lot, but you learn right away that the Shimmer is this presumably from outer space thing that came and struck a light post, or no, a lighthouse on the beach. And now there is this ever expanding, slowly expanding entity force, something called the Shimmer, and the government has set up camp outside to study it, but it's expanding and it's growing, and they keep sending people in to find out what the hell's going on. No one comes out. Mm. And Natalie Portman came out, and they're like, you've been gone. How long do you think you were gone? She's like, I don't know. It felt like a few days. Things are kind of fuzzy. They go, you were gone for 4 months. So the time is all distorted. She doesn't know what's happening. They're asking her questions, and she's given not evasive answers, but she's like, I couldn't tell you. Like, where is the rest of your team? She's like, I don't know what happened to them. And so it's a whole mystery. And then we flash back, of course, before, you know, they sent her in. And I'm going to leave it there because I feel like I've set the table enough for the plot. She obviously goes into the Shimmer thing to, you know, sort of figure out what's going on with a small team. The movie benefits a lot from not knowing much about it because I saw the trailer, like all of us probably, or in commercials or whatever, and I'm expecting this sort of monster movie, alien invasion kind of thing, and it's really not that. Not the way it's been sold, and that leads me to the Rotten Tomatoes score, which we talked about yesterday, which is something like 86-87%. Yeah, there you go, 87%, but 66 with the critics. So you have a 21-point...
66 with the people.
People. Thank you for clarifying that. A 21-point discrepancy there. And like I said, I almost always find this to be a problem with the way the movie was promoted. Like,
good's not as advertised.
People were sold. People who went to see it were sold, like, oh, I'm going to go see this alien invasion movie starring Natalie Portman, and she's carrying a big rifle, and there's like, shoot him up, and, you know, the aliens attack. And it's not that. This movie is about idea. I'm gonna help everyone now who's debating whether seeing this or not. If you saw Arrival and if you liked it, like if you appreciated a movie that was not about the, you know, the rote, you know, an alien coming to blow up, you know, the Empire State Building or whatever, and the shoot 'em up and then this and that, and you liked that and you appreciated the change, you're going to love this movie. If you went into Arrival and were bored, I know plenty of people whose opinions I respect, who were bored, who said nothing happened, who said it was boring, or said, I don't know, I wasn't that interested in it. This is not going to be the movie for you. I would warn you off of...
if you liked Arrival, Gina, you can't love Arrival. You can like Arrival.
I very, very much liked it. I was lustful for it.
Okay, but you can't love it.
Okay.
If you liked Arrival, you will like this more.
This will be the movie for you. I don't know whether you like it more or not, but this will be up your alley. Because Arrival was less about, you know, aliens coming and destroying things and us fighting against them Independence Day style, which, God love that movie. We had enough of those, you know?
Well, it was more of a mystery.
Yeah, it was about ideas and communication.
Yeah. I liked it.
Big picture ideas.
You tolerate it.
I barely tolerated it.
No, I liked it. I liked it, too. I just the thing about Arrival is that there wasn't physically enough going on to love it because enough.
You might like this more.
But I liked it.
This does have more going on for sure. There is the sort of I think moviegoers and people are more pleased when, you know, there is an obstacle and something to achieve or defeat or figure out or solve or whatever, and this movie has that.
And we're no longer even talking about that it seems like it's a predominantly female cast. That's neither here nor there in 2018.
I'm really glad you mentioned that because, Adam, remember you said yesterday there's always some component. You often feel there's some component when there's a big discrepancy between the audience and the critics, and you're like, well, there's a message or a timeliness or something else going on.
Well, the three are ethnicity or environment or a strong females in charge leading. Those are the three that get you a bump. They don't make up for 50 points. They make up for 10% or something. Okay. Get a little bump.
That's fair because I didn't realize it till afterwards. And to Gina's point, I almost didn't even know. I noticed, of course, but it almost didn't strike me as like, oh yeah, it's an almost entirely female cast. You know, it's four females who go into the thing, and the reason they do that is because the scientists say, well, we've sent nothing but men in so far, and they haven't come out, so maybe there's something about this. It's not really a strong plot point.
Right,
so
see if the top, see where the top. Usually, if this theory's correct, the top critics will bump a little. So, like in Black Panther, it's at 97, top critics 100%. Okay. So it'll usually go that direction if there's a theme that they're following.
79.
What's that?
Top critics are 79%.
Oh, they dropped. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Yeah, but still.
there's already one scene in this movie that will haunt my dreams forever. And any movie that has a moment or a couple of moments that will stick with you for a long time, you got to give it credit for. Dare I say... The sound design was magnificent. Dare I say?
Can I say this?
It really was, though. It really was excellent.
Sonny's a pretty sharp cookie. Can I get Sonny to go to this movie with me?
It's R-rated. It's a soft R, which means like halfway. So actually, I didn't notice it was R until there was some F words, and I'm like, oh, they must be just going for an R. But then there was
like lunch at home.
Yeah.
Sonny's a bit of a softie, right? He's a nice kid. He's a sweet boy.
He's very sweet.
There's a couple scenes that might mess him up in this movie.
There's
a scene that messed me up.
He needs it. Okay.
And I'll leave it at this. Even though, okay, so 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, I feel like that's about right. I really enjoyed this movie, but I didn't love it. But I appreciate any movie that swings for the fences like this one does and ends up with a off-the-wall, you know, a double off-the-wall like this one does.
Good.
I can't take any more King's Speeches or Hidden Figureses or any of these movies that are just so down the middle.
Hidden Figures may be an example of what I was talking about.
I have no idea what you're saying.
The black ladies in charge over there.
Right. The Post.
Everyone
the Post
who watched
another,
it just kind of went, yeah.
The Post
okay,
is another good example. Just play it
Oscar.
Safe down the middle. I just don't need any more of these movies in my life. Give me a movie like this that reaches for the stars and comes up with something just short of
good.
Hooray for Bollywood!
Well, I'm excited to go see it now. I bet Sonny probably enjoy it.
You know who else is excited? Dawson, because beforehand he's like, I hope you give it a B+, because I know if you like a movie too much, I'm disappointed. So you're in, Dawson.
You're in.
I really liked Arrival. I thought Arrival was pretty awesome.
You're going to love
so
this one. I mean, you're going to kind of like this one.
I said really liked.
Really liked. Really liked. And he said awesome. Okay, Simply Safe. I've worked with these guys since they had 10 employees, and now they're protecting over 2 million people. Exciting news, they just released their brand new home security system, the all-new Simply Safe. Smaller, faster, stronger than ever before, completely rebuilt, redesigned with the new safeguards against power outages and down Wi-Fi and cut landlines. It'll take hammers and bats and whatever you can throw at it. The first security system actually called Beautiful. I have the new system up and running now. Mike has the system. Dawson has the system. Gergis got the system
as
well.
I just got it too.
Oh, yeah. And so did Aaron Max Pata. Very easy to set up. No wires, no drilling, no mess. Up and running in under an hour. Very easy to do. You get the 24/7 protection, just $15 a month and no contract. But supplies are limited, so let's go to Simply Safe, simplysafe.com/Adam. Very interested in our next guest, Thomas Massey, because I said, where's the guy standing? He has a Tesla battery, and he's living off the grid in his house. But I started asking him about...
Did we mention he's a congressman?
Yeah, sorry, congressman. About his stance on stuff. And he's like, well, he's against this, but he's pro that, and he's against this. And he seemed to be like sort of all over the road. And whenever I see all over the road, I think he has integrity.
Yeah, he's thinking like, for himself.
He truly believes in these things.
Yeah, when you start seeing the super party line one direction or the next, you go, does he believe it, or is that just following the party line? But he's all over the place, which I like. All right, so... So like when you go, I want gun control and I want tax reform. I go, okay, there's a guy who's being intellectually honest. He's not just picking a stupid path and running down. So we'll talk to Thomas in a second. Vinny Tortorich, Pure Coffee Club, the best. PureCoffeeClub.com. Try the house, the honey, the athletic blend. I think with twice the caffeine. Good stuff. We got it here. We love it. We use it at home. Thank you, Vinny. VinnyTortorich.com. You hit him up for, a phone consultation and whatever. Vinny's Vinny. He's the best. He's the best. No, no. But what I mean is like he's
co-sign.
It is his life. This is what Vinny does, and he loves it. So we'll take a quick break. We'll do some good sports. We'll come back with the congressman, right?
Yeah, representative.
U.S. representative. Sorry. Is it same? Oh, why do we have two different things?
Congressman is a representative.
Oh. Why don't we write congressman then?
We all learn something about it.
They're both correct.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I don't know. Representative seems like they run the Homeowners Association or something outside of 39 Palms or something. I don't know. Congressman Palms. Congressman sounds better.
Right. Every time I see congressmen write about themselves, they always say U.S. representative. They never call themselves congressmen. So maybe
Richard Martin calls himself representative, well, and he's a congressman from Ohio.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm saying... If you're throwing a dinner party and you could have a guy come, and that guy could be a representative or a congressman,
yeah,
I think you'd sell it as a congressman, yes?
We'll have to ask him.
Absolutely.
Or prestige.
Yes, Chris Maxpana?
Yes.
Okay, put that on the thing. So we'll talk to him right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. Good sport. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sport. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on Bat Stallone. Breaking the fruits of the year. Danger recapping Hawker.
That's fun.
Ace is getting talking.
That's
shooting jerks with blasters. Nasally podcasters.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this final episode of the week of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we've covered a lot of ground this week. We've talked about getting your hair cut. We talked to Susie Schuster about Rich Eisen and the possible swapping of your spouses for each other, mm-hmm. You know, so you and Rich can finally have what I think you both want deep down, which is each other's company round the clock.
Did you say clock?
That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I could change that if you want.
Yes, I do. So, yeah.
Right. Move that
something
L.
else. That's move right.
That L.
Move that L.
Now let your mind run free.
Mm-hmm. It just did.
Speaking of which, we've talked about scepters.
He's in love with my replay GIMP idea, and he brings it up every single time I see him. I've never gotten more mileage out of a throwaway idea that he's profoundly in love with the replay GIMP.
Well, and that it says a lot about how charming you are, because not once but twice I paid witness to you. It was he who did it to you, actually. You snapped the ball and then he tried to kick it, and he kicked it twice into the back of your sack, correct?
Yeah, he booted
it. You were bent over snapping style.
He booted it. Marshall Faulk was holding, I think, and I snapped it. I think he kicked it. Marshall was holding. And he just, you know, it's one thing to get hit in the butt, but the fleshy part of the cheek, you know
that
you know
hurts
what I mean?
Worse. Definitely hurts worse.
I got back sack and anus, basically, is where that ball. Worst cop duo ever. Back sack and anus. My office yesterday, right now. I got the mayor. I got the TA. Pretty nice. Shut your face, back sack. Anus, you're no better. Now I'm going to lift both your shields right
anus,
now.
Anus, I've had it with you going rogue already.
That's right.
Black sack. We got to make that show. That's a show. Get ABC on the phone stat. Hey, speaking of TV, I was on. Oh, we have a video replay.
A video of me.
Well done.
Snapping the ball to Rich Eisen, and Rich Eisen just booting it right in.
But he did it twice on the same day, didn't he?
I think it felt like he did. I'm trying to remember now. You'll note it's a very strong snap to one Marshall Faulk over here.
Hey, I work with Christian Anderson, former UCLA long snapper, and he would like to have a competition with you. He was for the, you know, for the Bruins. Here we go.
Oh, certainly. Oh, they'll pot it up. They'll
put that up there on AdamCarolla.com and check that out.
I would welcome that challenge.
Figure out a series of competitions that we can do around long snapping. As a matter of fact, I also think I know we've talked about it literally back to the days of the Man Show of doing a regular guy Olympics, and maybe I've been or decathlon. Maybe I was inspired by the recent Winter Games, but we really do, Ace, need to figure this thing out. Let's have a regular guy Olympics. Maybe it could be, I'm thinking big. Maybe we could expand it, and all the listeners could also submit, and there's no way to cheat that if it's videotaped and you're not allowed to make any cuts around it. But you have to, like, if Carolla's doing it, now are you, Johnny, in Tacoma, you have to do the same thing and show it on video, and we all submit it and see who the greatest regular guy champion of them all is.
Here's Rich lining up and Marshall Faulk holding and me snapping. Note the excellent snap. I don't know. We're having a little trouble with the.
It really is right on the money. Back,
yeah, I'm very sorry. It's playing right. Fine on the computer. When we put it on that monitor, it starts glitching out.
All right. That's
either
fine.
Way, Ace. The regular guy decathlon 50
yeah,
yard dash.
Here's the, yeah, you know, I gotta. Sorry for this, but
yes, you do. I have to be good.
I
terrible.
Feel like the sun has set on this.
No,
all right, here it is.
I'm not
one
listen
more time.
To that.
Snap.
What a snap that was! Oh, Rich.
Now, that's more than a coincidence, Rich.
That's 10 points.
Is it because I have the number one podcast in America, Rich? Is
I'm
that why
people
I'm
off. I'm killing people off. Oh, my God.
That's what I could do.
Oh, right in the butt.
I think he hit it twice because I said that's more than a coincidence, I think. So it must have. You're right. You must have kicked me twice in the ass.
Rich should try old school head-on kicking. The sidewinding ain't working out for him.
I wanted to send a message to Rich that I was pretty versatile. Back there, you know what I mean. I could take a lot of punishment, and obviously, anything he could mete out, I was up for.
Unrequited offerings to this point, but we'll see. Hopefully, we've made some good progress this week around that. The sun has not set on my regular guy decathlon. It's a great idea.
I'm at the point.
You've tired of hearing me talk.
No, but speaking of tired, I'm at the point where if I go to the gym and I run on the treadmill. And I'm looking at the TV monitor that's in front of me, and I'm watching the guy builds tree houses, the nicest guy in the world, makes everyone's dreams come true by building tree houses.
Yeah.
And then I look up at the TV to watch the Winter Olympics because the guy just took off on the luge, and I look up for 25 seconds. I look down. I'm way out of out of my lane on this treadmill.
You're running behind somebody else on their treadmill.
One foot on someone else's treadmill and one on mine. I have to steady myself. That's not a good sign.
So you're saying you're past your window.
I don't know that I got my punt, pass, and kick competition in me anymore.
Well, you know what? Then I say we got to do it ASAP is the drill before it's too late. I don't want 68-year-old Adam Carolla sitting in a chair wondering what might have been. What could I have done if we would have done Dave's regular guy Olympics? Then?
I'll tell you what I can do. I'll just sit in that chair and I'll think about having the Guinness Book of World Records most downloaded podcast, or being on the New York Times bestseller list 3 times, or selling out the Moore Theater in Seattle, or winning the Toyota Grand Prix as a celebrity and a professional. And I will lament about us not having our make-believe athletic competition.
You think that's what Rocky Blyer does? You think he's sitting in a chair right now thinking, like, I won those 4 rings, though? No. now? He says, what can I do now? What about now? What if I'd gone for a fifth one? Maybe I shouldn't have retired then. Maybe I should have tried for number five. I don't
You're
want
right.
you to be that guy, Ace.
It's weird that Rocky Blyer steps on a landmine in Vietnam.
No, he took a bullet from Charlie.
Took a bullet from Charlie in Vietnam, gets his leg all foot all screwed up. I thought he got his foot
maybe
all screwed up.
Maybe you're right. I thought he, I think he,
what
well,
happened
maybe
to
I'm
Rocky
getting confused.
Blyer?
I might be getting confused with Born on the 4th of July.
Rocky Blyer's foot was all screwed
you're
up.
You're right. I think he did. I think you're right about the explosive, right? Because it did get blown up.
And Robert Urich, the guy who played Rocky Blyer in the movie.
Right.
Passed years ago, and Rocky's still out probably doing some motivational speaking as we speak.
You're exactly right about both of those things. And in fact, Bob Urich, I asked Rocky Blyer once, I had the occasion to say, were you flattered? Because I'm fascinated by, if you are the subject of a biopic, who Hollywood decides to have play you says a great deal about how the world perceives you. And I said to Blyer, were you flattered by the choice of a very handsome A-list star, Bob Urich? And he said, well, I mean, I might be a little bit better looking than he was.
Wow.
And he meant it. And that's what I loved. Bald, but he was balding in playing days. But Bob Urich's not good enough?
Bob.
I love it.
He shall be missed. Dan Tana.
That's correct, yeah.
What happened to Rocky's foot?
Rocky was wounded. You guys are both right. Wounded in the left thigh by an enemy rifle bullet, and when his platoon was when he was down, an enemy grenade landed nearby after bouncing off a fellow soldier, sending shrapnel into his lower right leg, and he lost part of his right foot in the blast.
I had no idea. Talk about bad luck. You get shot and you're laying there, and then a grenade rolls up.
Urich died in 2002, and Blyer is 71 years old.
71. Wow. That's something. Rocky Blyer. By the way, I've gone around and asked some of my colleagues, like, yeah, but that's like Rocky Blyer. And they say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't who Blyer? What? Who's this? Who's that? You don't know who
sad.
Rocky Blyer is.
Sad.
You don't know who Rocky Blyer is. These same people, they don't know who Drew Pearson is. Shameful.
That's sad. Shameful.
Thankfully, I get to sit down with Adam Carolla every week and kibitz about sports with someone who gets it. Not just the game of football, not just sports, but the game of life. And that's a good place to go. Oh, next time I got to talk about our mutual pal, Nick Santora. He had me come by his very fine show, Scorpion, CBS, Ace. You know about acting, right?
I do. He gets random guys who watch football at my shop to act in a show.
I guess who else was there? Dan Dretch. Yep. That's right. Wait till you see this, Ace. I mean, I want to talk to you because you've put on the thespian hat before.
Sure.
And, you know, all I'm going to say is I did a scene with Catherine McPhee. And was I nervous when I walked in there to do a scene with the world famous Catherine McPhee? But I'll tell you what, Kat took some chances in our scene, and that encouraged me. She was so courageous with what she was. She wasn't afraid to fail, and that created a playground for me to have some fun. I'm going off. I know the guys behind the glass don't know anything about acting or anything like that. Silly me. All right, listen, we'll talk more sports and otherwise with you next week on Good Sports. For now, Podcast One Sports, Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek out.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.